Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Drunk Women Solving.
Oh my God, that's the most Looney Tunes entrance I've ever had. How great is that? Round of applause for the curtain.
I thought we should just do it naked, but no one was up for it. But just get rid of this for a second. Okay, you've come to Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Welcome to Drunk Women Live at Underbelly Cavendish Square. I'm so excited. I haven't stayed up this late since the millennium. This is really something. And this is a very special group because we are the only people who survived the heat apocalypse. Well done. I've never been so excited to see clouds. I was just like, yes, miserable London, you're back. Oh my God.
Do you know what I managed to do on the day of the heat wave, hottest day ever? I had a smear test booked.
Oh.
So,
Well, Hannah, you were only supposed to leave for essential things.
Yeah.
I mean, it was it essential?
Amount of fucking
is,
I do.
Is women's...
It's not a lot.
Is women's health essential? Oh. Hannah's married now.
Yay!
We're also blonde. What's going on? We're just morphing into each other little by little. So, guys, give us a cheer if you listen to the podcast. Okay, good amount. And give us a cheer. Don't be bashful. If you've never listened to us before, you need a drunk woman. Oh, wow, you guys have really taken a chance on romance.
Welcome. I'm like the slutty cool one. Yeah. I may have got married, but it doesn't stop me. My husband is in the audience tonight. Hello, my darling.
It's a little fun. It's a little fun. We all have nicknames. This is Detective Butt Stuff. That feels like...
I was in my vows.
Tee
yes.
that up. Yeah. And we have Detective Sasshole. I'm Detective Asshole. If you listen to the podcast, you probably still have some questions. So don't feel like if you don't know what we're talking about that you're any different than anyone else in the room. It just kind of evolved, and we came up with some ass nicknames.
Who doesn't love asses?
We got a lot of asses.
I can't say asses. It sounds like a mule. I need to say ass, but then it's not cool.
That was a haiku. / limerick.
And now I'm even sassier. So.
So yeah, what is the podcast, guys? What is it? Where are we? What's happening? This is being recorded.
this is a part of history now. Let's get going, shall we? We always start a show with a little this meets that. It'll make sense as I go. We have a crime word, and then we have a little alcohol word. It's a bit of, well, we made a noose for ourselves because we did it once as a joke, and now we have to do it every time. So if you start a podcast, think through the format. That's all I'm saying.
I love that we're all fine that we drink solidly every couple of weeks for this as well. We didn't really think it through.
It's the words we need to tweak.
Yeah, my GP's worried about me, but we don't have to go into that. Okay, what do you do? Okay. Guys, what is drunk women solving crime? Well, this is where abduction meets aviation gin. Sidebar, hey, Ryan Reynolds, if you're listening, just plugged your gin for free, so now you have to be a guest.
And that's Blake. How that works.
Blake, too. That's how that works. Yeah. We'll have both of them, and I mean that in every way. I would so have both of them. This is where a beheading meets a B-52. Don't let that put you off, Ryan. And where forgery meets a Flying Scotsman. It's a true crime podcast with a twist
of lime.
It gives me great pleasure to welcome our guests for the evening. This is all normal. They're like, we've joined a cult and we can't leave.
The doors are locked.
Okay, the doors are okay. Secured. The floor is oiled. I don't even know what that means. The smoke machine is on. It makes me very disoriented. It's my pleasure to introduce our guest for this episode. She's a fantastic comedian. You're going to love her. Please welcome Sharon Wanjohi.
Hey,
Sharon, how are you?
I'm good. I was having so much fun listening to you guys on stage. I love it.
Oh, well, we love you. We're so happy that you're here.
Yeah, you
know that we always start the podcast with the same question.
Yeah.
And that question is, do you want to fuck Ryan Reynolds?
Oh my God, without a doubt. And I'm gay, so I feel like that. Really just brings the point home.
That's why we throw Blake in there. It's just a little bit something for everyone. So the real question we ask with a bit more seriousness is, have you ever been the victim of a crime, Sharon?
I don't know if this is me being the victim of a crime, but when I was 11, I watched two men get shot for stealing, which was, a mind fuck. I know, right? Like, dead.
Oh, my God.
I know. Is that me being that? Have I made that about myself?
Did you shoot them?
Because I didn't shoot
Okay.
them, no.
It feels like that is a worthy thing that for you to be sharing.
Traumatic. So, you know, I didn't even think about it until I had to like really because I live in Dagenham, so I see a crime every day. But I didn't think that's not worthy, and I had to like really reach back to the parts of my mind where I thought I'm gonna repress this until I'm 50 and I can afford some fucking great therapy.
Or I get invited on a podcast, whichever comes first.
Like, therapy, yes.
We brought it up for you.
Yeah.
You
have.
As a testament to the authenticity of the format, we never know our guest's crime, and had I known, I probably wouldn't have led with, would you like to fuck Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively? Can you tell us a bit more about what was the scenario?
So I'd gone back home to Kenya, where my family are originally from, and we were pulling up to the junction, just like, who's from Kenya?
Shout out!
There's never just one of us in a room. We always come in a group. But yeah, we're back home.
I did my little white woman wave.
Oh yes, an African
country. Hi, Kenya.
No, I love. So these men are dying. No, what a way to lead into that thought. So yeah, they just got shot. And I turned to my mum and I was like, what is going on? So they're lying on the ground. When you're 11, I don't know, that concept of death isn't in there yet.
Yeah.
And she was like, don't worry about that. But my dad, being the amazing father he is like, those men were shot for stealing.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was like, oh, shit. I just got my nails painted baby pink. This isn't really the vibe I was going for today. And I didn't really think about, because I don't know, when you're 11, you don't really think about a life outside of your own, do you? You just kind of.
I mean, even at 34, I certainly don't.
To be honest, if we're being completely honest.
What a fucking weird.
Wow. I know.
Wow.
I know.
Wow. Did you say they were shot on a roof?
No, on the road. But on the road. Roof would have been maybe a little bit comical. We could have laughed at
that. So you're with your parents. Are you just walking along and this happens?
Yeah.
And they're just on the street as well.
Oh, shit.
So, like, do you know who shot them?
No idea. You just hear bang, bang, and then two men lying on the road. I know.
And what happened next? Did you leave the scene?
Yeah, we left the scene like immediately. And I wish we... No, I don't wish we stuck around. I don't know why.
Made a TikTok. It's hard to know though, isn't it? When you see something like it, you think, oh, can I help? Maybe not as an 11-year-old, yeah. You don't think, can I help? But like, you think, shit, do I go towards the person who...
What is the next
I remember
step?
My brother saying that he saw a girl get hit by a bus.
Holy shit.
Yeah, which was just awful when he saw it just happened sort of across the road. And he was... somebody's laughing, okay.
Someone found that hilarious. Shout out to you.
Someone's seen Mean Girls and just thought, she's just, the girl's going to be great at hockey one day, it's fine. But yeah, he said that like his initial reaction to it was he was on his phone, he saw it, and he just threw his phone in a bush and then ran across the road to help. And then he was like, I might need to call 999. So he ran back and like, got his phone out of the bush. And it was such a weird sort of like, he was just like, I need to drop everything to help. What a nice boy. And like, but yeah, just like, no, your fucking phone in a bush, you idiot.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's oh, but it's so innocent, isn't it? Because that moment of trauma, you just can't account for what you do.
I don't know if I have a good concept of trauma, but I don't feel but you don't, you never feel traumatized, do you? Okay, so I probably am traumatized.
It's not what it's right, not okay. What the films and TV tell you trauma is. That's the thing.
See,
it feels
thinking,
so
yeah, like,
unlike
waking
it.
Up, like sweating, thinking like the entire event. Being
yeah, Principal
of, like,
Skinner out right? The window.
But
it's not
I've
always
stolen
like that.
Since, so I don't know if I've really learnt my lesson from that. I haven't. I need to say, if police are listening, I've never stolen a thing in my life. I was brought up Catholic. I'm a good Christian girl.
We should also say that Taylor is like, in another life you were a therapist, so
I
sometimes
was,
when we're
I
on this podcast we're talking to people and we go deep with this.
I know, well, and I worked with a lot of trauma cases because I was in New York after 9/11. Am I making this about me now? But there's a reason why I stopped doing it, because it's very intense. But I just think it's fascinating where your brain takes it. I'm fascinated by your father's reaction to it. Where was that coming from?
I think he's a very like matter-of-fact man, and he likes to take life lessons from just the most mundane places. I know it's really weird.
never too soon.
It's never too soon, but you know, I'm 11.
Also, did
just
you...
Just finished High School Musical. It'd be nice to be a child.
We're
a
all
bit.
In this together.
But also, Jesus. Is there an element, did you kind of appreciate him just
I think so, yeah.
being that honest?
I
and
think
not,
so.
It was quite an authentic,
yeah.
not dressing it up for you.
Which I think was nice. Not nice. I don't know. My word choices today are not really hitting it. But
don't
yeah,
question
it
your word choices. They're absolutely fine.
Thank
this is
you.
Not a session.
Yeah.
It's fine. Wowzers. Is it something that you and your family talk about? Did you talk about it? Do you feel like something that you had to process? Or did it just get filed somewhere?
No,
like, is it a conversation?
We will bring it up every now and then. I'll be
oh,
like,
really?
Guys, do you remember those fucking guys on the phone? They'll be like, yeah, fucking cry. Anyway, what's for dinner? Like, it's very,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But I do feel like, because I'm really weird about death and I'm trying to, like, get over that. It's, I don't know, death is so weird. This is going to get deep, you all right?
Yeah.
It's good. It's just such a fucking, like, you're here one day and the next day you're not. What? Crazy. Nuts. So I feel like a lot of it stems
you
from
need
that.
To do a TED talk.
So eloquent
it is though. It's bonkers. I mean, it's just it's what we're all carrying every day.
I don't know when I first learned about death as a kid, because like I think it was a hamster, but I feel like it was probably a grandparent when you really like, do you know what I mean? That's when it really hits home and you're like his cage will look so empty. But
you couldn't tell your grandparents from a hamster? Wait, I missed that.
No, I was just pretending we kept my granddad in a cage.
I know your nan was very small.
Yeah,
but
what was it? I had a joke once about wanting to get a tortoise to... No, wanting to have some children so I could teach my tortoise about death. That's a great joke. It's a thinker. But it's a fucking great joke.
2 minutes.
It's like when you said I had a joke about a tortoise, someone went, oh, God.
And I would believe that in our audience, they saw the punchline coming, like, I see where this is going. Sharon, normally we ask the question, if you had the perpetrator here, what would you say to them? But this is obviously an unusual one because this was very much a witnessing and it was more about seeing the victims of something. So I don't know what the fuck to ask. I'm not going to lie. I wish Oprah would have been more honest in those moments. Like, I don't know what to say. I'm just going to give away some vehicles right now.
Look under your seats, because is that Oprah? I feel like Oprah has things under her seats.
I'm going to ask you this. Is there something that you wish you could have told 11-year-old Sharon either before that happened to prep her or after to sort of debrief her?
Yes.
Okay.
I was so, and not, you know, preface this by saying I'm not, listen, I'm still kind of vaguely Christian light, if you will, but I was very Catholic, and the guilt attached to kind of like death, and especially if you were quote-unquote bad person, you know, these men were caught stealing, and I thought, oh my God, they're going to go to hell, and the life has ended in such a horrible way. I think I just like sit myself down and be like, girl, relax. They're not going to go to hell. They're just dead. I don't know if that makes it any better, but for me, that's comforting in a weird, morbid way.
No, that makes complete sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
That's really great. I would just have told myself not to get another hamster because it'll just fucking die again. So, that's so wise.
I'm glad we also made Hannah feel better. No. That's important.
It's a real comparative trauma.
Honestly, it is a comedy podcast, I promise it is. But it's just... We decided to ask this question of every guest because we have almost exclusively female guests on this podcast, and we knew that everybody would have a story, and we have yet to have a guest on who doesn't have a story. And sometimes those stories are very traumatic and heavy, and I think they're important to be told. So there, I don't have a joke. I just have a statement. Very sweaty. Very, very perimenopausal. So let's do this. Do you guys want to say anything else? Any admin? Hannah had her hair done today. I think it looks great.
It looks amazing. It is. Yeah.
There's death and then there's highlights.
It's balayage, actually, if you don't mind. Which is a word I learnt from Taylor. I didn't know what that meant. But it means, like, great hair.
I told her to do it.
Great content for a podcast. Doesn't Hannah's hair look nice?
You have to come to a live show then. Woohoo! Okay, guys, Sharon, thank you so much for sharing that. It's time for the meat of the podcast, where we attempt to solve some true crime, sort of. It's kind of like a quiz. You'll be able to follow along. Are you guys ready to solve some true crime?
Absolutely.
Are you guys ready to listen to some true crime? Now, normally Katie has the monopoly on the cases with the silly names, but there are some great silly names in this, so I'm really excited. This is the case of Ernest Pletch. Oh,
yes.
Wow. Well, Ernie Pletch. Pletch grew up in Indiana. He was the son of a wealthy farmer and county legislator. Now, Ernest Pletch grew up wanting for little, which is a nice way of saying that he was a spoiled little cunt. Here's your first question. He grew up in between the First and Second World War, and he was obsessed with something mechanical. What do you think Ernie was obsessed with? Sorry, my dad's called Ernie. I have to stop calling him Ernie because it's going to go sour really fast. Pletch.
Also, your son is called Ernie.
Yeah,
a lot of Ernie stuff.
Yeah, we don't want to, let's not sully the Ernies. What mechanical thing was Pletch obsessed with?
Between the wars. All right. Oh, someone's shouting out. Go on. What was that? All right. No, we're not going to copy you anyway. All right. We've got our own ideas. And one of them is the fridge.
Oh, God. Oh, this is where I wish I was like a mechanical lesbian rather than like a hippie lesbian. Because I have no fucking idea.
You cannot be
mechanical
both.
Mechanical? Oh, you can't. You have to pick one. When you come out,
pick
they say,
side.
Which lesbian are you? And you say, the one who has father issues, and you get on with it. No, I don't know. What are mechanical? Like, are cars mechanical?
Yeah, they are indeed.
No, maybe not car. Tractor. I'm going to go tractor.
Tractor?
Yeah.
Okay. Grew up on a farm.
Gramophone. I'm going to just keep guessing, actually.
You're going to upgrade to gramophone? I don't know why that's an upgrade. A fridge is much more useful in my life. Trains. Okay, another tractor. Yes, we have some
actually,
tractor votes.
People do get obsessed with trains.
People do.
I was going to say, like...
Rabbits. What rabbits have you seen and where can I buy one? Love that.
They had telephones in World War I, didn't they?
Oh my God, I was gonna ask the same question, but I was like, is that dumb?
But it was literally like iPhone 2, but they did have one. I think maybe like machine guns.
Okay, I think these are all good answers. The answer was aircraft.
Oh,
really?
Okay. The tractor woman is furious.
So, but it's trains. You can sub trains for planes if you need.
Francis Bourgeois is in.
Flying train.
So, Pletch was a decent mechanic himself, and as a teenager, this is in 1926, he begged his father for an airplane. Question: did his father, Mr. Pletch, buy him a plane?
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a spoiled cunt, right?
Yes.
He got a plane.
We have established that in the profiling section.
if he ever tells anyone about it, he's like, yeah, but like my dad only bought me like a really small plane because like I'm not actually that spoiled. Sold it like that.
Also, I feel like when you ask for something as a kid, you kind of, you know what you might get. You're kind of like, I won a power workshop. Sure, I did. And then I was like, maybe I'll just ask for a hammer.
Right.
Because I was like, I'm not sure I'll get that. And then I did get a hammer and some nails. It was amazing. What a summer. But I think that you don't, you know, if any of us asked our parents for a plane, they would just go like, either a model one or fuck off. Like, you know.
Yeah.
So to ask, the fact he asked makes me think he got it.
Yeah. Okay, well, Mr. Pletch did what parents who spoil their children sometimes do. He threw a little half-hearted discipline into the equation, and he said that Ernest had to do something before he could have that plane.
Oh, that's good parenting.
Was it eat his broccoli?
He has to smoke all these planes, every last one of them.
That deserved much more. There, we'll edit that laughing.
Thanks, Taylor. You got my back.
Smoking the planes. What do you think he had to do to get that plane, Sharon?
Oh God.
What earns you a plane?
What do rich people make their children do rather than cocaine, the club would say? It made him do 5 lines before he got the plane. This was what, between the wars?
Yeah.
Between the wars, 26.
What do people do? Maybe do like work for a week, but it wasn't real work.
A week of work.
It was like a week of like an unpaid internship at his dad's, you know, business where he like sexually assaults all the other interns.
I mean, his job.
Am I the only one who's done one of those unpaid? That's what they do. I'll be honest.
She's just telling the truth.
I'm just telling the truth. All good
guesses.
I mean, does he, the logical person in me, who isn't a parent and thinks I'd be a great one, is does he tell him he has to get a fucking pilot's license?
Oh, that would have made, more sense.
How is he going to get a pilot's license without a plane? Come on, he needs something to learn.
Like that, right? Visual gag, come to a live show. He said he had to finish high school.
Okay.
I mean, I got a bracelet, so comparable. By the way, I know you say aeroplane here, and I've stuck with airplane. That's just one of those things I've held on to.
It's
like,
so
you say
okay.
Aero chocolate, and I say air chocolate. Just a little difference. What do you think Pletch does in response to his father's proposal?
I mean, if he's in danger of dropping out of high school anyway, this is a very tenuous grasp his father has over him. That's just me freewheeling. That doesn't answer the question.
No, I think you're right.
I think he steals a plane.
Oh.
I think he says, fuck your rules, Dad. I'm going to have a plane, even if it means I'm stealing it.
Yeah.
You could have just stolen a bracelet.
You don't have to impress your parents. You can just nick stuff.
Yes, Claire's accessory. They do not watch you. They don't. They just, they're too busy going like, should we be piercing the ears of this 2-year-old in the window? I guess we will, I guess.
I've only stolen 3 things in my life. 1, my husband's heart, sure.
Aww. And his penis.
She's a slutty
sexy, one. Cool one. And black olives and beef jerky. So yep, I got issues.
Why That's the name sorry, for his balls.
We've got to psychologize the psychologist.
Agreed.
Why were you stealing?
I feel like it represents something.
They were just my favorite snacks. Anyway. The tin of olives was like industrial sized, and I was in a dorm and we didn't have fridges, so I hung it out the window and I was just like, get an olive.
Was it worth it?
Great question.
No, it was like smoking 100 planes. I was just like, oh, these fucking olives never
come away. Have another window olive. There's bird shit in here.
I finally had to wrap it in a bin bag, like a severed head, and I put it in the school bin. And guess whose job it was to clear the bins? It was my job. So I don't even know why I wrapped it up. Oh my God, I did not expect to go down this route. I'll tell you what Pletch does. It will come as no surprise. He drops out of school in a strop. He cuts himself off from his family, and he impulsively gets married.
Wow. And then been there. No, I'm joking. It's actually 7 years before he fucking proposed, so. Which is fine.
He realizes, shit, I have no money, so he starts working as a farmhand and mechanic. He does what he knows, but he's still obsessed with that plane, so he learns how to fly. How does he do that?
Another visual gag.
Come to a live show.
For the listeners, Hannah has flapped her arms.
Like a three-year-old might do when they're pretending they can fly.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Thank you.
Never stop being you. Be true to who you are. Okay? You flap those wings, girl. All right? Someone out there's going to love that. Okay?
You flap those wings. I still have dreams where I can fly, and I have to flap my wings like that hard enough. So there's like a bit of physics in it, because I have to do it hard enough that I can levitate.
Does it work?
But it's all... Oh, yeah, every time.
Oh, my God.
And I'm always escaping from something horrible. Wait.
Yeah.
This is not about my psyche.
We are learning so much. No, I love it.
Stop it. Just stop it. How does he do that? How does he learn how to fly?
Cocaine.
Should we make that the default answer for every question?
We found the dealer in the room.
Big bag of coke. I don't know. Does he like... I mean, he sounds like a twat, but does he befriend someone and he's like, hey, bro, I'm really trying to fly some planes right now. And the guy's like, yeah, cool, I've got some fucking planes back at mine. Let's do this. Is that...
Pretty much.
Oh, my God! I'm going to give myself a pat
pretty
on the
much.
Back.
Okay. He does.
Stop it. Stop.
So he starts learning from books, but as you can imagine, like every plane I'm on, I'm very glad that they don't just learn from a book. He's like, I need some hands-on. So he joins the circus, a traveling circus where they take people on thrill rides, and he begs the guy to just be his co-pilot so he can learn how to fly.
It was that easy back in the day.
It was that easy. Wow. Sure, hop aboard. Yeah.
He's quite industrious. I gotta say, so far I feel like finishing high school would have been easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that is how much he hated his dad.
He joined us.
You've never been in school. Indiana's hard.
Fuck you, dad.
So he's flown away with the circus.
Drunk women solving crime.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, so fast forward a little bit. He's 28 years old. He's decided he's had enough of that book reading and being a co-pilot. He wants to fly one himself. So how does he do that?
Has it been like 11 fucking years? Did he, like, because he hadn't finished high school, so he would have been about 17.
It's a long old time.
So he gets to 28 and he's like, I think there's something more to flying.
Yeah, he's still logging
so
those miles.
Wait, 10 years since he dropped out of high school?
Yeah, it's about that.
And he hasn't started flying a plane?
He could have just finished high school.
He could have ticked this off his bucket list 10 years ago. I mean, it's good that he's this stubborn. I'm sure that is really helpful.
I'm gonna push this ahead because, Sharon, you already guessed it. He steals a plane at this point.
Yes.
It's time to steal.
I knew he would.
Yes. So but what's happening with the tractor?
Where are we at with the tractor? That's what we're
here tractor's back home going, why aren't you obsessed with me? I'm a tractor. I swear I haven't done drugs, but it's like I have. It's the smoke machine.
Yeah,
what's in this?
Is that why, like, at school discos when you were a kid, everyone just went fucking crazy? It was the smoke machine. Oh my God, it's like Kid Coke. That's actually, copyright that. I'm going straight on Dragon's
Den.
Kid
Coke, you want to copyright Kid Coke?
Yeah, cocaine for kids.
Shout out to you. No, everyone has a vision. That just happens to be yours.
I think it would sell.
Well, it could be a custom blend, depending on the tone of the school. Like, I wish I had had some stuff in there, just to give me some confidence.
You're going to get sued by Coca-Cola, I can tell you that.
Bring it on, mate.
So,
Pletch... I don't know about business. Sorry, Taylor.
No, not at all. Pletch steals a plane. He returns to his...
A fight with Coca-Cola, sorry.
He returns to his home state of Indiana and steals a plane in the middle of the night. He flies at about 75 miles to Illinois and manages to land it. Now he thinks he's a god. He starts charging people for thrill rides himself, including a 17-year-old girl called Goldie Gherkin. And Goldie finds herself in a bit of a pickle. Hey, I won't say aeroplane, but I'll give you the wordplay that you so crave and get off on.
I've now, almost forgotten the fact she's fucking 17, but I was like, okay. Also,
which back then is like an old lady. I mean, she is drying up.
Isn't he married?
Oh, yes, he got married. Well, what an interesting point, because my next question was, what do you think Pletch might have lied about to
Being
Goldie
married.
Gherkin? Being married was
what,
one thing.
What, a wife? No.
I'm married to the plane.
Now I've got it.
Yeah.
He lied.
I'm married to my imaginary work. What else would he have lied about to Goldie Gherkin?
That it's his plane?
Oh, that's good. A good one. Yeah,
I finished high school. I finished it good.
I finished high school and I own this plane.
I love it that at 17, because she's 17, she's like going like, oh, it's hard to finish high school. And he had to go, oh, yeah. Yep, I can relate to that. Definitely.
Also, wait, sorry, how fucking... He's charging people for rides.
Yeah.
But he's not a qualified pilot. And he's just learned how to fly by reading books.
And being
I
in a plane.
I'm so pissed off. But you just let give me my money back.
Yeah.
How dare you? He's got balls of steel, this guy.
Yeah.
I hope he's not. Is he evil?
And presumably they're not like he's going, evil. Okay, before he's I get like, in okay. this plane, I need to see some ID. They're just like, you got a plane. This should be legit. I'll get in.
Especially at 17, to be fair.
Sharon has decided he's evil. Let's bear that in mind.
Oh, because right now.
But
like,
I saw
think he's evil too.
Oh, really? Okay. I saw Top Gun last night, so I'm getting Tom Cruise vibes.
The original?
No, the new one.
Mate, Tom Cruise is not
wrinkly gun. Which is fine.
Who's not? Who thinks he's good?
He's a 60-year-old man, which is very close to my kind of man, so.
In short stature, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And Scientologist. Yeah. No.
All right. Basically, he lies about his age and says that he's younger, he's not married. They go on a 5-day aerial romance. Pletch asks Goldie to marry him. She refuses. So Pletch keeps asking again and again, because in the 1930s, no means probably. But Goldie holds her ground. What does Pletch do? It's not murder.
Okay.
I'm not taking you there.
Okay, all right.
It's really shitty, but he doesn't physically harm her. But what does he do?
He lands the plane on a desert island.
Okay.
And he says he won't fly home until she marries him.
Ooh. All right. Yeah. That's a very good guess. All right.
Does he respect her boundaries, go back, and say, fair enough, mate, I'm going to go finish high school, apologise to my dad, and buy myself a plane like a big man?
Does that's the Richard Curtis version that we're all waiting for. Wouldn't that be lovely? I've learned something in the sky.
I feel like, also, if a woman whose surname is, sorry, no, but if a woman whose surname is Gherkin doesn't want to marry you, do you know what I mean? Like, you can have my name. What's it? Oh, it's Pletch. Okay. Like, that's not great.
What a hyphen, though. Gherkin Pletch.
Gherkin Pletch. But I kind of, okay. I think that what you say is goes to the island and says that unless you marry me, we're not leaving. Yeah. I think he just abandons her on the island like a Channel 4 reality show.
Oh, Hannah George, you have broken some hearts in your day, because that is what he does.
Oh, shit!
Not an island. Not an island. He leaves her sitting under the tree where he's proposed and just fucks off.
Holy shit.
In his plane, though.
In his plane. And but she has no idea where she is or how to get home. She's under a tree.
She's just under the sex tree.
Is she under the sex tree?
I'm assuming. I don't know.
She's somewhere in America.
They were making little gherkins. Yeah.
I don't... That would make me kind of want to marry him a little bit more. I'd be like, fair enough, big dick energy. Bring that plane back around. Let's do this thing. Can't believe he abandons her. That is evil.
I like the idea that, like, it was skywriting that just says, fuck you, Gherkin! And if he'd done that, I'm into him as well.
So Goldie's parents, when they find out what's happened, apparently they were reluctant to press charges because, quote, the young man took such good care of our daughter.
Oh. Holy shit.
Yeah, great times.
Did someone
great
say
times.
Different time?
I love that. We don't want to piss off a nice man with a plane.
But they eventually do go to the police, who arrest him in connection to the airplane theft. A trial date is set, and he's freed on bond. What does Pletch do with his last weeks of freedom before the trial?
Cocaine!
Look, are you selling or not? Because stop teasing us. I'm joking. To the venue, we are joking. It is a joke.
How do you feel about selling to children? It's something I'm trying out.
Business part,
can you turn
that.
It into smoke form? Oh, that's crack. Somebody already did that, and it didn't turn out pretty. Did they steal another plane?
Okay. What was the question? I just heard cocaine, and I was like,
what
good
does
stuff.
He do? He's on bond.
Why was he arrested? Because the parents of the neglectful parents of little Goldie don't care. They don't want to arrest
him. They do eventually press charges. She's but like, he didn't treat me that great.
Oh, so she just like wangs on about it, and then they eventually want to arrest
him. Who signed you on, Casey? Yeah. Welcome to our feminist podcast.
I'm using different types of language to make various points.
Yes, it's working.
So, that's a very earnest answer, but to my original joke, that doesn't work. What was he arrested on? Abandoning a woman or stealing a plane?
No, it was for the airplane theft.
Okay.
And I think it was loosely linked to her, but it was more about the plane. What's more valuable in the 30s, a woman or a plane? Come on.
Plane.
It was rhetorical. A plane! It was the plane.
Cocaine, says the cocaine. No, sorry. What does he do with his last weeks of freedom before the trial?
I'm going to also say steal a plane.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right? Seems like a very
helicopter? Did they have those?
What he does is he winds up meeting a pilot called Carl Bivens. He asks Bivens to teach him how to fly. He's already been flying and charging people, but he wants to learn more. So he pays for two lessons, which go so well that he schedules another. On October 28th, 1939, Bivens and Pletch take off in Bivens' plane, and then they're in the air for about 40 minutes when something happens.
I hope it's something fun. He slits his throat.
Okay, slits his throat.
No, that's not my proper answer.
Do you know what? I kind of ship them because I'm getting very like him asking Bivins for extra lessons, even though it's very like, oh my God, I don't know how to, even though you know, like, yeah. How do I do that thing? So I think they get up there and he's like, I was never interested in planes. All of this has led me to you. And it's like some sort of like a romantic, well, that's what I'm hoping anyway. That's the vibe I'm getting.
And now it's more like the Richard Linklater film that we all want to see. It's just going to keep becoming. Okay, any other guesses? Katie, what do you reckon happens up there?
He just like knocks him out and tries to steal the plane. Does he chuck him out of the plane?
Oh, you know, like in The Simpsons where they... that guy that's always in prison, and then he does something to Otto Man, the school bus guy, and then he drives off in the school bus and he goes, I'm taking this baby to Mexico. Very specific one episode of The Simpsons that I watched over and over again as a child, because we didn't have Sky, we had some on VHS. But I feel like he's like, I'm taking this baby to Mexico. He's like, let's get out of here because I'm not going to jail.
He's going to cross the border.
Well, things turn quite dark.
Oh.
Pletch pulls out a revolver and shoots Bivins in the head twice, killing him.
I mean, yeah. Cool. Wow. What happens when you shoot someone in the head twice? Kills them.
Oh, they go, ow!
And then,
he's dead.
Ow!
You're really bringing up a lot of stuff for
Sharon.
Yeah,
this is really fucked up guy. No. I'm
so sorry.
Again, I apologize.
That is not the romantic ending I was hoping for at all.
No, it's like pretty much the opposite.
That's the complete opposite. No.
This is the Jordan Peele movie.
Maybe that was his kink.
That we're hoping. Okay, so yeah, it's just this incredibly dark turn, and it's sort of, why did you need to do this? You had already, you know how to steal planes, you're about to go on trial, but he does this horrific thing. He takes control of the plane. He doesn't fly to Mexico, he flies to Missouri. Presumably not for an abortion.
Yeah.
He lands in a field. What does he do after he's landed?
Go, oh, that was fucking nuts. That's what I'm assuming. Yeah.
Does he maybe try and bury the body?
He steals money from Bivens' pockets. He dumps the body in a cow pasture and he takes off in the plane again. He flies north until it gets dark, then lands in another remote area. Now, Pletch had a plan, which he doesn't actually follow through on. We only know this because, surprise, this does go to trial eventually.
Oh, wow.
What plan do you think he had that he didn't end up going through with?
Oh, my God, was he going to try and kidnap Goldie? I think he's got to get over, he's got to go to Canada. If he's not going to go to Mexico, he's got to go the other way and try and get out of jurisdiction for the crimes.
Okay.
I mean, he's got a plane. He can go fucking anywhere and start a new life. So whatever his plan is, he's being a fool.
I think that's sensible. Any other takes on
I'm
it?
I'm really hoping for a redemption arc. I hope he just goes, do you know what? I'm a changed man. I'm going to go finish high school. I really want him to finish high school.
Yeah, he gets his GED.
He starts working at
You know,
office.
I learned something that day when I murdered the guy for no reason.
And as valedictorian of Indiana.
Does he run away? I think he runs away. I would run away.
Yeah. No, wait. Look, it's a little bit more Freudian than all of this.
Does he fuck his mom?
Oh my God.
I know psychology, guys.
His plan, thank God he didn't do it. No, his plan was he was going to fly the plane into his father's barn on a suicide mission. To send him a message for all those years ago.
That is so petty.
The message being, I guess, see, Dad, it turned out great. Jesus. But he chickens out. What does he do instead?
Cocaine! I love you. Let's get married.
Do you know what? I shall move us along on the note of cocaine because I need you to meet these next characters in this town. So he lands the plane on a farm and two little boys who are working in the field run to greet him and they're terrified.
Oh.
Pletch steps out of the plane and by now the farmer has joined the boys. Pletch asks the farmer a question. What is that question?
They're already freaked out. Or does the question freak them out?
Yeah,
Like,
is he what's the vibe? In, is it like...
Yeah. What's the vibe?
The vibe?
Is he covered in blood?
The vibe is fucked up. The vibe is fucked up.
Does he ask... for flying lessons. Because I feel like that's his thing, isn't
it? You teach me how to fly. Are you my dad?
Does he ask which of the children is his favourite? I like doing that with parents, do you know what I mean? I mean, they're like, oh my God, this is Timmy, this is Tommy. I'm like, which one do you like best?
I love that.
Timmy, immediately.
Do you ever get a response?
I remember I did that when I did stand-up once. I said, oh, how many children do you have, to this guy in the audience? And he said, two. And I said, which one's your favourite? And he just went, oh, it's got to be Ethan. And like, he meant it, it was fucking great. And his wife like, hates about him. It was so good, it was so pure. It was
really I'm a teacher, so I'm going to start asking that during parents' evening. Like, I teach both of your kids. Which one do you like the best?
I know my favourite. Yeah.
And then you could just go, same.
Or, really?
Also, if you ask it really quickly, like you get their answer.
Yeah.
I shall tell you what the question was. He said, is there a good place to eat around here?
First thing I do after murdering is eat.
Yeah. The farmer tells him to go to Williams and Wampler General Store.
These names.
These are not real.
I thought he would have suggested Applebee's. I know American stuff.
So there was a nice lunch counter at Williams and Wampler, but the locals had reason to call the police urgently. What was that reason?
He was covered in blood.
He was covered in blood.
Oh, my God. He really
you got a good place to eat around here.
Like, you can imagine the scenario.
Wow.
He tried to blame it on a nosebleed.
Oh.
Did not look
honey.
Like a nosebleed from cocaine.
I would have gone for the period excuse personally.
Yes. That's why I only ever kill people by crushing them with my legs.
It's good for your alibi.
Here comes the real hero of the story.
Covered in blood.
They weren't buying it, but he goes to Williams and Wampler to get a snack. They alerted one Bertha Manor, who was the local telephone operator. And it just so happens that Bertha had a nose for news and a vivid imagination. She had been listening to her radio and heard that there was a stolen yellow airplane. So Bertha calls the cops and tells them she's pretty sure they've got the suspect right in town having a snack. Bertha Manor. Telephone detective. So the police call the cook at Williams and Wampler. He takes the call while he's frying burgers for Pletch, and the officer tells him only respond and yes or no answers. Is the suspect there? Yes. He says, try to stall him. We'll be there as soon as we can. How does the cook stall Pletch?
It's those American portions as well, isn't it? It's like, I've been to America and I'm like, I can fucking finish food, but I cannot finish the amount of food they give
me. I'm sorry, this is an 8-patty burger that you've ordered. That's going to take a little while.
Yeah, Guy Fieri from Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives comes in. And it's...
Oh my God.
Is it Guy Fieri? He sometimes says Fieri.
Yeah.
Is it Fieri? Because
by Fieri.
I'm noticing an American accent. Yes. Is that your brother, Taylor? I
miss him. Why does he have to wear the sunglasses on the back of his head?
style.
I like it. Thank you.
Anyway, some great snacks on there. Lots of olives, lots of jerky.
So, I've gone portions, you guys.
Portions, giant portions.
How he delays him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he says, tell me about your dream.
I think he breaks out into some sort of a scat number. I personally always stop whatever the fuck I'm doing to like, you've got my full attention. I'm gonna be here for a couple hours. I don't know. I feel like that was the vibe.
Oh my God. The Williams and Wampler scat routine. It's 3 o'clock.
Also, like, I think in those small towns, they wouldn't have a big sort of police force. So it would be like, we're going to be with you in 2 hours. Keep going.
On horseback.
Yeah.
A really long scat.
The way he stalled him was by pushing the burgers to the cold side of the grill. So they took ages to cook.
Fair enough.
I think that's really adorable. Yeah.
But that was delicious,
really
actually.
Low energy.
Slow cooked burgers.
What we came up with.
Yeah. He would, actually.
He would. And that's all that matters. So there's all these local heroes. The police get there in time. Does Pletch put up a fight?
Yes, I'm from the audience. No.
Why not?
He sounds
Sharon.
Like a quitter. Like his supposed bae. was like, I'm not going to marry. He was like, okay. And then he fucked off in a plane. I just, he doesn't have the energy of someone who will fight quitting. For what he wants, right?
Sharon?
Yeah.
Welcome to the force. He puts up no fight at all. Goes to trial. There was a question. This is the final question. He's found guilty, spoiler, but this case led to a lot of legal complications and questions. Why would that be?
Because why is he flying a plane when he has no business flying planes? I'm going to say it's to do with the planes.
Okay. Yeah. It is to do with the planes.
Yeah. Legislation to do with who can fly a plane.
Okay.
Planes weren't super new at that point, were they?
They were.
But they kind of new.
A couple decades.
1910. Okay.
So maybe. Maybe. It's like those fucking e-scooters. Like, do you know what? No one's like on the pavement, on the road. Do you wear a helmet? Do you not? How do you fucking like use one? We don't know. I feel like it's that. People don't know what the rules are.
Well, they didn't know what the rules were when it came to murdering somebody in the air.
Oh, well, as in which state it
Because they
us.
Didn't know where the jurisdiction oh, was.
Whoa. Of
was,
oh, so whether he gets the death penalty.
Right. Was he murdered on a, like, happy state where, you know, or, like, a bad state where you... Yeah, exactly. So he was found guilty.
Oh, my God.
Spent the rest of his life in prison, died in prison.
Okay.
But this case led to a lot of... they had to draft a lot of clearer laws about how murder should be tried if it occurs in the air.
For the next time that happens.
Yeah, for the next time. We're ready.
You see how, like, how the sea has their own rules? I feel like the air should have, right? Their own kind of, like...
Well, and it's down to the airline. It should be, right? Like a virgin murder is not a BAL.
With like
yeah, if you get killed on EasyJet, you actually have to pay extra.
That is a beautiful note to go out. I'm just going to say cheers to Goldie Gherkin for saying no.
Yes, Goldie! Yay!
Right.
He's a bad bitch.
Oh, boy. We are on the clock, but we have just enough time to invite a member of the audience to come up, because the way we always finish the podcast is to ask, have you ever been the victim of a crime, and can we solve it for you right here, right now?
Oh, we got someone in the back.
Come on up.
Yes, lady in the back. Give me a round of applause.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, what's your name?
Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Welcome.
Hello.
Kim,
Hi.
Thanks for coming up. What's your story?
So it's kind of a, well, potentially a supernatural story.
Go on.
Yes. That's what we need. Yes. We've had everything else.
That's the vibe of tonight.
So, well, you need to solve if it's supernatural or not, basically.
Okay, okay. All right.
So I used to live in Bristol in a flat.
That is spooky.
And we had an old lady who lived above us called Janet. And her husband had died previously.
Okay.
Setting the tone.
Okay.
Nice. So while we were in the flat, a few spooky events happened.
Okay.
So we'd go to bed, and then we'd wake up, and the taps were running in the morning.
Ooh.
You know, footsteps. But that was probably just her walking around, the footsteps of her. but then the spookiest thing of all happened, which was a big scratch appeared on the wall in the hallway, like a claw had scratched it. But I just got a cat. Not long before, but it was really big. It was like looked much bigger than a cat could have done. It was like a werewolf had scratched
okay,
the wall. So the crime okay. is, was it the ghost of Janet's husband?
Right, can I just ask? I heard you say we. Who were you living with at the time?
My partner, Chris, who's in the
Is
audience.
He a man?
He is a man.
A straight man?
He is, yes, unfortunately.
It's done. It's solved. Straight men don't cut their nails, so that explains that.
And the taps, also a very man thing to do. Classic man.
Anyone else?
I actually no. think we nailed that in one, but please weigh in.
Sorry,
God, that is so true.
Right?
I can't.
God, when I was in my straight phase, I'd be like, oh my God, if this is what it means to be straight, I'm just going to have to invest in some nail cutters, because all the men are tearing my uterus away. I'm sorry, but goddamn, if you take anything away, just cut your goddamn nails. Just...
Also, though, I love the fact you've gone like, I'll go for women who notoriously have small fingernails.
But you know, there is... We'll talk after. There are ways. There are ways.
They're smooth, though. That's the smoothness.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, did you know the husband at all?
No, it was before we moved in. Well, this is just me speculating, actually, that Janet had a husband who had died because she didn't have... anyone living with her, which is a bit presumptive.
That bitch husband is dead.
Chris, did she have a husband? What? She had children. So, okay. But we don't, like, you know, I'm speculating about her, so actually it's not very
worth it. The tap thing is weird.
No, I feel like Chris could be blamed for the tap thing.
Agreed. Sorry, Chris. Just why'd you leave the taps on, Chris?
Chris is busy.
You forgot to turn off the taps.
Chris is a fucking nightmare, actually.
How spice things up, Chris, 5 minutes before he does all of these things.
Maybe he was just messing with
me. Oh my gosh,
sorry. I don't know Chris, why we're attacking Chris.
Drunk, because we have to blame somebody. Chris. That's what crime is.
We normally blame the mother, so this is really
refreshing.
This is progress for us as women, so thank you, Chris.
Chris is really drunk. He bumps the tap, he leaves it on, he stumbles through the hallway. Case closed. Here's your prize.
Here's your prize. Thank you so much.
Well deserved, Queen.
Okay. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you, Kim.
Right. We've got just enough time to ask Sharon, please let us know what you have going on. Where can we find you? Yes. What's coming up for you?
So mentally, no. So I'm doing a split bill with my best friend and comedy wife, Abby Edwards. If you're around in Edinburgh, we'll be there from the 4th to the 28th at City Caff. Please come. It's going to be such a fun show. We write each other's sets and we don't know what the fuck we're saying. So it's going to be really.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Cool. So we end by giving each other sets we've written, but they're really fucking mean. So we're just going to air all of our grievances.
Oh,
it's going to be amazing. So if you're around 8:20 at City Caff, the Hollywood Room, please come. It will be a laugh. It's a free show as well, so literally nothing to lose. What else do I have going on? Oh, so I just got this new Apple Watch and... no, that's it, really. Yeah, just come and check it out if you're around.
Thank you so much to
Sharon. Thank you.
Well, we've been Drunk Women Solving Crime. You've been absolutely fantastic. Thank you for coming out. Yay! Have a good evening and a wonderful weekend. Mwah.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.